Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Chair Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be taking your calls and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. And welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm good.
Excellent.
The sun is staying later up in the sky these days.
It's a very good thing, isn't it?
It's nice.
Yeah.
Feels like spring is coming.
It's on the way.
Yes. Sherry, would you believe that we have callers lined up already?
Well, that just makes me smile.
Great. I'd like to welcome Olivia from Toronto. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Doing well, and you?
Good, I'm so excited.
Well, so are we. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to thank you first because I go see a counselor. I had some body image issues. I'm an aerobics instructor.
Uh-huh.
And I was suffering from a lot of body image issues and just, you know, I had this strong urge to be 106, and I read There's Nothing Wrong With You, and then I sort of realized that there was nothing wrong with being, you know, 110 or 115 or whatever it was, because I suffered from an injury, so I can no longer upkeep the exercise addiction I had. So your book really, really helped me a lot.
I am very glad.
Yeah, so I'm basically calling today because I had a situation with a guy I was dating, and I really noticed the duality starting to take over, and for some reason, I just can't let it go.
Uh-huh.
And I guess, do I just tell you the,
sure,
the scenario? And
yeah.
Okay, so basically what happened was, I'm 22 and finishing up school, and he's 19, and he was an actor, and I started dating him. I was in this sort of serial dating phase, and I wasn't taking it very seriously, but then I really started liking him, and then the judgments in my head totally took over the whole scenario, and then I would have, like, these visions so far from the present moment of, like, him, like, never making it, or, you know, he's on a TV show now, but, like, you know, like, it's really small, and I don't know, like, I had, like, all these very, like, future visions, and then when we made it official, I just, like, freaked out. Like, I had a pit of fear in my stomach, and I tried to go back to the fear book, and I tried to really, like, figure out what it is I was so afraid of, and I tried to speak to myself compassionately, but then I found myself clinging on his, like, every action of, like, calling or not calling, and basically, like, taking things way too personally.
Uh-huh.
It made me, like, turn into, like, the needy girlfriend I didn't want to be.
Uh-huh.
And then I ended it because I just couldn't take it. Like, I was so clinging on, mm-hmm, and now that I've ended it, I'm clinging again. So I'm, like, really suffering from this duality of, like, did I make the right decision? Did I not? And then today I just decided, you know, I, like, ended it through text message because I was so, like, I just couldn't deal with it. I had so much schoolwork to do. And it's not that he was he really wasn't treating me that well, and that's why I decided to end it, but I could totally tell I wasn't myself in that time.
Uh-huh.
Like, so I don't know. Now it's like I left this message just being like, you know what, even if, you know, it didn't work out, like, I don't know, I still really liked you as a person and I'd like to be friends, and I can totally hear the egocentricity just, you know, like, oh my God, if he never calls you back, Olivia, that says something about you. You were so stupid for giving somebody younger a chance. Like, and I can't seem to let this situation go.
Mm-hmm. And so this is just current, though, right? I mean, this is still going on.
Well, yeah, like I made that call earlier today.
Yeah.
And I said to myself as I made the call, I'm like, I'm not going to beat myself up for this. Like, I'm a worthy person. Like, but I can honestly feel some part of me is so fixated on this guy's actions. And I think it's because it says something about me, and I can't seem to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because I think through counseling, I've let go of a lot of these issues. Like, I've dated tons of guys before this guy, like, and I wouldn't really fixate on any of their calling or habits, or maybe because I wasn't so into them, so I didn't care. But this one, like, I can't let it go.
Uh-huh. And so if we were to look at this in terms of content and process.
Yes.
Yeah. Being obsessive about things is not foreign to you.
No.
Right? I mean, that's one of the ways that your conditioning really gets a hold of you and does it to you.
Exactly.
Yeah? So it'll fixate on your weight.
Yes.
Or fixate on school, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's school, or I've noticed actually, you know, I've killed a lot of my critic. It doesn't get to me how it used to with the food I'm eating and how much I exercise. But I noticed that since this situation has arisen, it comes on like a light switch. Like,
yep.
If this dude doesn't call me back, I start thinking about being fat. And then I'm like, no, this isn't about being fat.
That's right. Yes. And so it's, you know, it starts having that, what I talk about is socks in a washer. You know, if you try to, you put a couple of dozen socks in a washing machine and then stand there and try to figure out which one is which.
Yeah.
Can you get that image?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they're just going around, and it's going around, and it's going around, and it's going around. And that's, it sounds like, what's happening with you with this. And the way we get hooked is that we believe the content.
Right.
Right? So you've dated other guys. It didn't really get to you, but this does. You've had trouble with food and weight and that sort of thing in the past, and that's gotten better. And now they've come together in this one little very believable package, and that's the one that's going to hook you. But it's really no different than it's ever been.
Right.
Yeah? There's always or usually been something that conditioning can use to hook you, to get you to believe that this particular content is really, really real, and it means something, and it means something about you, and therefore you've got to get fixated on it because it's really, really important, and it's really real, and it means something.
I got you. Okay, I understand. So it's sort of like now, because weight's not that big of an issue anymore, it's like, let's use something else.
That's right. And there's always going to be something else.
How do you allow that to... I know you probably get asked so many times, but it feels like when you... It's so slippery, like, one issue melts away, and then it's like something new. Like,
oh, absolutely. And it is so believable. That's how it gets us. And when it ties in with what this means about you, then it's a deadly combination. So what it means about you that you are fat, what it means about you that you have eating difficulties, what it means about you that you really care whether this guy calls or not, all of those are, what the all of those mean, of course, is that you're a bad person.
Right.
Right? Now, when we take that, and you know that that's not true.
No, but it makes me feel inadequate.
That's right. in lucid moments when our eyes are clear, we can say, that's crazy. That doesn't mean that at all. I mean, if you gained 25 pounds, you wouldn't be a bad person. You would simply be somebody who weighed 25 pounds more.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so we know that when we're disidentified. But then we get hooked in. And as soon as we get hooked in, then the whole thing is really believable, and it's true, and it means that. And we have to feel bad, because that's just how that package works.
Right.
So, you know, job one is figuring out how to remind ourselves that what we're believing in that identified state is not true.
Okay.
Okay? And so I do the old-fashioned personal growth, tried-and-true methods of writing it down and putting it everywhere. Okay? So it would be, if he calls, it doesn't mean I'm a good person. If he doesn't call, it doesn't mean I'm a bad person.
Ah.
Okay?
Because it can hook you on the good person, too.
That's right. Whether he calls or not, I'm a good person.
Right.
Are you a good person?
Yes.
Yeah, you're a good person. Now, we're not saying you're the most beautiful, wonderful, intelligent, incredible woman who ever graced the planet. We're saying you're a good person.
Exactly.
So that's, you're a good, and you're an adequate person. So that's not up for grabs. Your adequacy and your goodness is not dependent upon anything. Those are a given.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's reminding yourself of that in those times when all of the conditioning is coming together to try to convince you that you are not adequate and you are not a good person.
Right.
Okay? So one of the things that I think is helpful is to learn about ourselves, each one of us. You know, we're all exactly the same, and we have different little variations on the theme. Okay? So for one person, it's sugar. For another person, it's popcorn. For somebody else, it's bread. For somebody else, it's potatoes. Okay? If we were, you know, just going to stay in the realm of food.
Right.
If we were going to do addictions, for one person it's sex, for another it's food, for another it's alcohol, for another it's drugs, for another it's sugar, for it, okay? So we all have whatever it is that we karmically struggle with. And it's really helpful to get it that is, in fact, my karmic struggle. So it is my karmic struggle. It doesn't say anything about who I am. All human beings have karmic struggles.
Right.
Okay? So mine is this. Okay? So this is karmic struggle number one.
I've got a couple there.
Depending on how I'm feeling, I might fall into this, this, or this.
Okay.
Okay? So when those are up, I don't need to take it personally. Yes. That's true. That's what I struggle with. It is. Now, my job is to stay as present and conscious as I can so that I don't get sucked down into believing that.
That's the thing, like, Sherry, like, I've read your books, and I go back to them, and I really, like, it's so funny because sometimes it even uses the things I read against me.
Oh, sure.
And I know you even bring that up in the book, that it,
yeah.
You know, it. But when you're in the moment, it seems so real.
It is so real.
Yeah.
And it is true that egocentric karmic conditioning will use everything.
Yes.
So that's why I go to that, Pink Panther or, the Japanese sword master or the, you know, whatever image works for somebody who is going to leap out from behind every tree off of the roof of your house as you're leaving in the morning to try to throw you off,
to
try to get the best of you. If we take it seriously, if we get afraid and paranoid, life becomes a misery. But if it remains a game,
then
if it's
always
fun,
Always fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
If it's fun, if it's entertaining, if it's like, you know, if you can have a sense of humor about it, then you get up in the morning and it's like, okay, you furry little beast, what are you going to try to pull today?
Yes. It's funny, my therapist, we tried to come up with a name for that voice, and I was sort of thinking of, like, Goofy or something ridiculous, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we want to put it in that this is absurd category without ever losing sight of the fact that it's vicious.
Right, right.
It's absurd.
But it's also vicious.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I feel a lot, lifted.
Good. Good. Well, you know, that's of course why we get together like this, because we're all up against the same thing, and when it gets us off by ourselves, that's when we start believing that, you know, I'm not equal to this. There really is something wrong with me. Oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then we get back together again, and we hear one another and think, okay, this is just the way this game goes. I play this game.
Wow. Yeah, you really, like, help put it in perspective, and that furry little beast really keeps it at its level.
Yeah, it's a furry little beast with really big, sharp teeth.
Yes, for sure.
All right.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Your task. Keep us posted.
I will for sure say, you don't know, your book, like, it's really changed my life, and I've bought it for several other people, and...
You're our Toronto distributor?
Yeah, I think so. I think I should open a bookstore.
Very good.
I'm going to try to come see you in New York, hopefully.
Oh, good! Oh!
Yeah, so maybe I'll get to meet you face-to-face, but thank you so much again. You really, like, I feel so much better, and I'm going to find a picture of that beast and put it up.
There you go.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
You so
good
much.
Night.
Good night. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Olivia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, I'm enjoying this show already.
We all know the furry little beast, don't we?
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, we ought to start do that with line of T-shirts. You could have the furry little beast and make visible this whole thing. Be a great cartoon series.
Sounds great to me.
Yeah.
Sherry, the callers are lining up like Bay Area traffic.
Probably Toronto traffic or...
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to welcome Drew from Chicago. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Drew.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Oh, lots of stuff. I knew I was going to call 2 weeks ago. I decided to make the call and with a specific issue. And within those 2 weeks, I was all on the board with what issue. It's like all my personalities came up and decided they wanted to talk about certain things. So, hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay. My phone went funny. That's it for me. That's how you do anything. It's how you do everything. I sort of wander like that all over the place and have a hard time staying on one issue. So the thing I'm calling in about is career or meaningful vocation for me. I've been waiting tables for well over 20 years, and it's been a good job for me, but I know that I'm doing it because I'm afraid to make a change. When I make a decision to try to do something else, I'm with it maybe a week or two before something else comes in, and you know, and I'm real passionate about it for a little while. And there's probably about 10 things that have been going around, I've noticed, the past years that will come up for me. Pretty much like you said about the washing machine, similar to that. I can use that analogy. it'll come up and either convince me that the thing that I was thinking about previously was not what's right for me, or just get me so excited about the new thing that I'll forget about what I was thinking about before. So, and it's been going on for quite a while. It's a process that I'm becoming more familiar with.
Yeah.
And I'm stuck in it.
And it sounds like, just from what you've told us so far, that this is across the board in your life.
I'm sorry?
It sounds like, from what you've told us so far in this conversation, this process that you do is across the board in your life.
Yeah.
Because you did the same process with getting ready to call into the show that you're doing with your career.
Oh, yeah.
So something arises, you get excited about that, then the next thing is there, you get excited about that, then the next thing is there, you get excited about that. And so you do a process of excited about the next thing, and the net result is you don't go anywhere.
Exactly.
Now, let me ask you this. Why do you want to go anywhere?
I feel like I'm not fulfilling my potential. There's things that I love and enjoy, and I know that I'm staying where I am because of fear.
Well, now, maybe.
Yeah?
Maybe. It doesn't sound like you're staying where you are because of fear so much as because I keep picturing you're on one of those traffic circles, you know, on an intersection. And do you know the one I mean, the roundabout things?
Yeah.
And you can't decide which street to go off on, so you just keep driving around the roundabout.
Right.
And so if you didn't have a belief that you should be going somewhere else, would that be a problem?
It would be a problem to somebody.
Yeah, which is always interesting to me. Now, if we didn't operate out of an assumption that there's something wrong,
right.
You seem to be a person who really enjoys getting all wound up about possibilities.
Yeah.
Now, my teacher used to do this thing where, and apparently Thoreau did the same kind of process. My teacher would walk around, and like on the monastery grounds, and he would say, you know, over here, we could build, and he'd go through this whole elaborate thing about what we were going to build in this place. And, you know, he'd go on for weeks, and we'd all get excited about this thing that we were going to build and what it was going to do and how it was going to be and how we were going to use it. And then suddenly he'd be off on some other thing, somewhere else. And after a while, I began to get it, that we were actually never going to build any of these things. But it was so much fun planning it, imagining it, you know, arranging it. And apparently Thoreau did that. He would walk around the countryside, and he would see a farm, and he would spend all day there imagining that he owned the farm and how he would build a barn there and what he would, and then he would go home. And the thing he liked best was he didn't have to pay any taxes on the property. He could just go there and enjoy it whenever he wanted and then leave with no responsibility for any of it. So these are two examples of people who really enjoyed that process of doing things in their mind without ever believing that they needed to turn it into something in physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you're living in a place that says, well, this is what I do, but really, I should be doing something else.
Right.
And that always makes me curious. It's like, you know, You're 5'7", but you're really convinced that you should be taller.
Right.
Now, I often speculate, of course, that that sort of process is designed simply to take the fun out of what you're doing.
The dreaming about things, or?
the believing that there's something else that you should be doing other than what you're doing, that there's another way to be other than the way you are.
Okay.
Because we really don't have any evidence of that. You know, this guy who thinks that there's something else you should be doing doesn't sound like he has a clear-cut idea of what that is. It's
true.
Just really, it should be different from how it is.
Yeah.
Which doesn't, it never feels to me like a really good motivation for anything. Like, I should move. You know, I don't really know where, or I don't really have any place I particularly want to be, but, you know, I just feel like I should move. I always think, well, now, what's the point of that kind of process other than dissatisfaction?
Makes sense.
I can tell, though, that the person who has called to have this conversation is not thrilled with the way it's gone.
Yes, that's true.
And he's not getting...
That was not the magic answer I was looking for.
That's right. Somebody really wanted me to buy into the dissatisfaction program.
Right.
Rather than, you know, why not be a really good waiter...
Right.
Who really enjoys temporary interests in lots of things.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that as a life?
Well, somebody's got a list, but I'm familiar with that. But I see there's a clarity that I didn't have before. It's just approaching it in a totally different way than what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he would like to get you in there spinning your wheels about how your life should be different. And, of course, what happens with that is we do assume that this person has a point. It's kind of like what we were talking about with Olivia. You know, the person starts in, and it's like, well, they must have a point here. And so I guess I need to look at I should probably take this on. I need to do something about this. And we rarely stop and ask ourselves, well, why? What if this person actually doesn't have a point? What if the only point is ruining my life?
Yeah. It's interesting that it never occurred to me to just drop the whole thing.
It almost never does occur to us, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, let us know how it goes.
I will. Thank you very much. I was part of the online class. I don't miss it yet, but I have a feeling tomorrow I'm going to go to my computer and be very sad. It's been an amazing experience.
It's been a great year, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been wonderful, and it's been an amazing year.
Yeah.
It really has.
Well, I hope you'll join us for the next one.
For sure. I'll be waiting.
All right.
And thanks for this. And thanks for the archives. I've been using them a lot, and they've been helpful, too. So.
Good. I'm glad.
Thank you both.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, Drew is alluding to the archives and the podcast.
Yes.
Yes. So for those of you who don't know, podcasts of Open Air are now available. Sherry, do you want to go into the technical details about the podcasting?
Well, now, that would be your domain.
And I'm not sure it's even my domain. And what it allows you to do is to download the new shows as they appear automatically to your computer.
Yeah.
It's like a little subscription. We're going to break now, and we'll be right back after a couple minutes. Coming up next on Open Air in our second segment of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be taking your calls and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. ¶¶ back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have some more callers here.
Very good.
I'd like to welcome Janet from New Hampshire. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Sherry.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good.
I wanted to call and say that how my year with the email class was just amazing.
Well, good.
It was one of the most amazing things I've done.
You know, and I have the same experience.
I know. You wrote that today, and I know that you did. Mm-hmm. I love the name of it. I was thinking about that today, dissolving the ego, because it's like ongoing. You know, so the year is over, the ego is not dissolved.
Right.
But it was a great name.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process.
Yeah, it's like not over. Mm-hmm. It's going on. It's mm-hmm. it's happening. And I remember in the beginning, I was like, dissolving the ego, you know, I just couldn't get the name of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it just didn't make the sense that it makes to me now.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been thinking so much because you've asked us to think about what we've noticed. And I've really gotten to see so much clearer the voices. Seeing clear enough to ignore the voices more and more, to like really know that that isn't something I want to pay attention to.
Yes.
And that has been so, it's changed so much.
Yeah, and for those of us who have been doing this every day for a year, that day by day by day by day by day reminder of what's going on with us, what's going on, what is egocentric karmic conditioning, what is conditioned mind, what am I paying attention to, what am I listening to, what am I believing? It's so helpful, isn't it?
It's so helpful, and as somebody that used to have insomnia, I when I do wake up in the night, I'll wake up and I'll be able to go right to it. I mean, you know, they're just right on. They're already talking as I'm waking up.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And I can just say, oh, you know, no, I'm not paying any attention to this. I wish I had had that back when I could have really used it.
Yeah. What do you do when you wake up like that? And you say, no, I'm not paying attention to this. What do you attend?
Well, it's almost like it's like turning off a radio show or switching dials.
Uh-huh.
Tuning to something else. It's like I assure myself, oh, that's nothing that I want to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I just turn it off.
Uh-huh.
And then I reassure myself that I'm okay and that there's really nothing to worry about right in this moment.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, right now in this moment, everything's okay. And if something's going to come about in the future or if something happened before, I don't need to worry about it right then. But it's like with more of a conviction
mm-hmm.
than before, like just praying that that would really work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before it might have been, what do they say? Fake it before you make it.
Uh huh.
You know, like I'm really hoping this will work, but now it's just really knowing that that's nothing that I want to pay attention to.
Right, right. And you've had enough practice that you know you can turn your attention away from that conditioned voice and back to your breath, back to center, and it works.
It works.
Mm-hmm.
It completely works.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it just completely works.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other little things, like every day, you know, I live in New Hampshire, and every day I'll be driving home or something, and I'll be looking outside, and I'll think, I don't think I've ever seen the sky. This happens to me every day now. I've never seen the sky look like this.
Uh-huh.
And then the next day it'll be, I've never seen the sky look like this. And then I finally got it. You know, I'm really just starting to pay attention more to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So things are just starting
to
look...
It's really true, isn't it?
Different.
Every day. You've never seen the sky look like this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, there for it.
Yeah.
Instead of... and it really, you know, a plug for all of it, I see how you have to just keep being connected.
Uh-huh.
With the, for me, this practice really speaks to me. So to be connected with the email class, with the talk show, with the books, with your tapes, with other people, with everything. Because it is like a constant reminder.
Yeah.
And
what we're doing is attempting to go up against the, and constant reminder is a word that we would use for practice, but what we're going up against is a brainwashing system, which is what egocentric karmic conditioning is. So it's as you say, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night, you wake up into it. It's there when we wake up first thing in the morning. It's just there all the time.
Right.
And so what we're trying to do is train ourselves to drop that and get back here in the present where there isn't a problem, where there isn't anything wrong. And it takes tremendous practice and support to be able to remember to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't happen, but I feel that I'm so much more compassionate with myself.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yeah.
Tons.
Yeah, because we do get hooked in. We do go unconscious. We do forget. We do. Everybody does. Every human being does.
And yeah.
You know, until we don't.
Yeah.
And so to have that kind of patience, and you know, it, to me, it doesn't actually matter what happens. The only thing that matters is how we are with what happens. So, you know, there's a human being who is deeply conditioned and forgets and goes unconscious and goes into dissatisfaction and suffering, and can we have compassion for that person rather than judgment and criticism and self-hatred? That's where we're going.
Yeah, that is, I find that that's lessening.
Yeah.
Daily.
Yeah.
Daily, that's lessening.
Mm-hmm. You're in that same kind of process with more kindness every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm just really much more, and maybe it's because I feel that now I have that, you know, I can do what I do in the middle of the night. And so knowing that I've had practice and I can do it helps me to even disassociate more. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love what you say also. You know, you just keep practicing for the daily whatever goes on, and then if something really major comes up, you just hang on and get through it.
That's right. You just survive.
Right.
And then go right back. I was talking with somebody recently who had decided to stop drinking wine. And, you know, just decided to stop drinking wine. Now, it's not a big religious thing or, you know, just somebody who drinks wine and said, you know, I'm not sure who's making the decisions about this. And so she stopped drinking wine for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it was, and a big event came up, and so she was in this tortured, you know, how can I go there, and, you know, it's this fabulous dinner, and there'll be these wonderful, how can I not? And so what she decided was to go there and drink a little wine with her dinner and see what that was like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked to her afterwards, and she said, you know, it was great, and I was so eager to get back to my program.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. You know, there's the big temptation. Now, didn't sound like she went unconscious, but we can, and
yes.
And we go through something, and we see what happens, and we remember, yeah, but I want to get back to the breath. I want to come back to being here. Doesn't
right.
matter what happened. I'm here now. I'm glad to be here.
I wasn't even going to talk about this, but after the last caller, I really did want to talk about it, but I have been doing a lot of thinking myself about retirement or leaving my main job. I have a few different jobs, but and it's really interesting because I have been looking at do I like this job, and why am I saying that I really want to leave it, and what is all that about? And what I've keep coming up with is I want more time. I just
uh-huh.
don't have enough time. I work too many hours.
Uh-huh.
And yet, this year, I have added things on to my schedule. I have added on a couple things that I really wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that are in the beginning of the year or sometime this year during the course of this class, you know, a couple things came to me that I really wanted to do. A couple of things that I wanted to teach and ways that I wanted to be out in the world a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come to fruition. And so I not only now have this full-time job, but I have some more jobs, and I find time to do all the other things I want to do. But there's still a voice saying, yeah, but you need to quit your job because you need more time.
Right.
And I'm just like,
yeah.
It's like,
no, actually, what I need to do is stop listening to a voice that says my life needs to be different. That's
yes,
actually what I
loved it and
yeah.
when you said, and what if the only point is to ruin my life?
Yeah.
You know, like, because there's wonderful things about my job.
Yeah.
And it affords me money so that I can come on retreats. But
yeah.
then a voice says, yeah, but, you know, the timing's bad and the retreats are at the wrong time and you have to be at your job. I just feel so freed up from that because it was just in listening to the caller before me. It was like, this is crazy. Look at all I'm doing.
Yeah, because the more we say, you know, my big jag that I'm on currently, I guess always, but not phrased this way, is yes and thank you. And the more we say yes and thank you to life, the more our lives are freed up. And so what doesn't work in our lives just naturally falls away. And what does work is there, and it increases.
Yeah.
And so I walk around all the time saying, oh, I wish there were more hours in the day. And it's not because I'm busy and I don't have enough time to get some stuff done. It's that there's so much stuff I want to do.
Right.
And so I would like to not need to sleep so that I could have all those extra hours to do stuff, not that I have to do or that I should do, but that I want to do.
Right, right.
And, you know, I'm at an age where most people I know are retired, and or they're, you know, they're definitely wanting to be. And I can't imagine wanting to retire. All I want is to do things that I want to do for the rest of my life.
Right. And well, and when I think about that, I think, you know, I really feel confident that it will all fall into place.
Yes. Yeah.
Because what I want to
yes.
do will just keep increasing.
Yep.
And, you know, if other things then, as you say, fall away, then it just will shift.
Yep. And there'll be more room for things to
just shift to something else, but it's not something that I have to spend all this time on.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, should I, shouldn't I?
Right.
Oh, my God. Oh.
It'll just happen.
So all
right.
of that. But anyway, that's pretty exciting because I feel pretty great.
Good. That's all we ask.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm doing a lot
stay
of really
touch.
Great things that I'm really liking.
Yeah.
So I just want to say one other thing that, you know, your role modeling for me, commitment this year has just been amazing. You know, your commitment to the email class and to all of us and what that was able to bring forward with the whole Sangha, the email Sangha, was incredible.
You know, thank you. I think that the thing, truly, the thing that I enjoyed most about this last year was the commitment. You know, it was...
That you enjoyed personally?
Yeah, that's what I enjoyed. It was showing up every day and being with Sangha. That was the thing that I think I'm responding to when I talk about how much I loved it.
Yeah.
It was the commitment to practice with Sangha every day for 365 days, and that's what, you know, that's what we all did together, and that to me is the life changing piece of it.
Yeah.
There's lots of things that we can do, but it's the practice. It's the constant showing up, regardless of what's going on with us, and choosing to be committed to who we say we are, to the deepest desire of our hearts, to want what we want our lives to be and what we want the world to be. That's the thing that makes the difference for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thing. I see that with that, and I see that with the email class and, you know, the showing up. So mm-hmm. I'm just very inspired by it, and I just want to thank you, and I'm just feeling so...
Whoops.
That's my phone beeping.
Okay.
Somebody's
telling
trying
to
call
goodnight.
Me.
All right. Thanks for calling, Janet.
I'm just filled with so much gratitude, so thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for calling, Janet. Sherry, we have a minute and a half left. I think we could have a brief conversation with another caller. What do you think?
Wonderful.
I'd like to welcome Cindy from California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Cindy.
Oh, hi there.
Hi there.
It's been interesting listening to this show, that's for sure.
Oh, good.
And having sort of, I think the core of the suffering in my life has come about in trying to study for an exam, and it felt like everything, the sort of the core of the stuff that causes me most to suffer has come up with this exam.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
And how would you describe what that is?
Well, I know that the feeling, the conditioning says I desperately need to do well.
Uh-huh.
And that I will, everything else has to stop while I put all of my effort into preparing.
Uh-huh.
So the world has to stop. I don't have time to notice anything or be with anything that's happening. I just need to do this thing.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so what's interesting is the fear and the suffering over actually doing it over the years has become less suffering than the actual thinking about or getting ready to actually go through that process where I actually am getting ready for the exam. So, and I actually have gone back to school, and what's interesting is all of these demons, which I had like 25 years ago, well, they're still here. And, you know, it's great because going back to school part-time has given me the opportunity to look at this stuff again. But wow.
Yeah. With a lot more conscious awareness, right?
Oh, a lot more. But yesterday when right in the thick of like the feeling, which is like I want to be able to do well on this exam, but I don't want to go through this process that is so, causes me so much to suffer because I just end up, everything stops except this.
Yeah, now, Cindy, I can't tell. You know that those two processes don't have anything to do with each other, right?
No, I don't know that.
Okay. You know that you could study without the torture? And you could do well without the torture, that the torture isn't contributing anything except misery?
But the torture isn't like while I'm doing it. The torture is not... The torture is that even when I go through the process without sort of beating myself up over the process itself is exhausting.
Yeah. But do you do know that a person could joyfully study for an exam and joyfully take an exam? That process that's going on is what I would talk about as self-hatred. And that it's just adding itself to this in the way, you know, for Olivia, it was added to eating or weight or the boyfriend, or, you know, for Drew, it's about the, should I have a different job? Or Janet, you know, should I retire? That it's using that content of studying and taking an exam to torture you. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm trying to get that, but I'm not. It's not. I'm not getting it.
Well, then you know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Call
probably
in next week.
Well, have to look at it.
That means you have to call us next week.
Oh, okay. All righty.
Because if there's that kind of blank stare, I might have missed completely what you were saying.
Right.
There
okay,
is
well,
always that possibility.
Okay.
Yeah. So you look. And then give us a call next week, and we'll start from there.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Cindy.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Cindy. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Let's do it again next week.
We've got to start.
Okay. Thanks,
Sherry. All right,
Sherry.
Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.